You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of February. What will Quinn Snyder do this year? A look into the adjustments and changes we'll see from head coach Quinn Snyder, a signature of his career thus far. Plus, it's a Facebook Live Thursday edition, taking your questions and your thoughts. It's all coming up next on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, lots of geeky numbers, and a look at what's going on. You can get this on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. When you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Good morning to Alex and Joshua and the others that are on our Facebook Live edition today. We'll get to your questions as we continue on the show. Today's show is brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. As often the Facebook Lives are, Intercap Lending and Slow the Flow. Thanks very much to our sponsors that allow this show to continue to roll along. All right, the lead to the show today, I want to talk about kind of Quinn adjusting and what he does, but I want to just, you know, I hope you heard Joe Ingles yesterday meeting with the media. His son Jacob, autistic, early diagnosis 2.5 years, they old, and they went public with it, and he explained why and talked about it and was really honest about it. And it was interesting. I think that the telling moment of it was that, you know, when Joe signed his big contract, he said, we're going to have an impact in this community and leave a stamp and be able to do things in this community. And he had openly admitted that he and Renee have been having a hard time kind of finding out what that is, right? We have such great philanthropy in the community. There's so many different things going on. How do we go and find a message, and how do we go find a look, you know, that's going to be what we are and who we are and in our charity work? And that this obviously has given them great direction. And the reason that they went public with their son's autism was one, lack of awareness, predominantly their own lack of awareness. And then the other thing on autism that's so difficult is there just does seem to be a incredible correlation between money spent in, I guess it's called occupational therapy, or I don't really know what it's called. You know, money, direct money spent to results. And that just feels just really unfair. And so if we can increase the awareness of what it takes and what's going on, and then hopefully increase the funding and increase the charitable work toward it, then maybe some of those people that aren't as fortunate as Joe and Renee are able to get some access to help in that circumstance. So, you know, I thought Joe was great yesterday, obviously going through a lot, and kind of openly admitted that it's been hard. And I think that's a really, from a team standpoint, we look at it from a team. Obviously, it's a quick reminder of how human everybody is. I think we've seen how human this team is a lot, which is a really, you know, a pretty wonderful thing, actually. I mean, Rudy's tears when talking about his mom, Ricky Rubio talking about not wanting to be traded and his Twitter stuff. Donovan is just pretty darn real. And now you have Joe kind of openly admitting what he's been going through with the finding out his, you know, the diagnosis and all the things that they've been dealing with, and that coming to the building at times was, he actually didn't talk about it as though it was a sanctuary. He talked about it. It was hard for him to amp up at times. What I think's interesting there is that if you go back to our culture code interviews culture code interviews that we did earlier this year, one of the main questions that I asked all the guys is, you know, if you bring one person into a group, all these studies show, and even if they don't, you know, make a lot of contributions, they pick up the group and give it great energy and make everyone around them feel better. The fact is, that's Joe Ingles on this team more often than not. And so if Joe has been a little off, then the fact that the group has rallied around him to pick him up is awesome and interesting. But also, it is interesting of what was the impact on the group that Joe was a little off, that Joe might have been a little surly, or that Joe's having a tough year. So lots lots there kind of in the inner dynamics of the group, because Joe's such an integral figure to who the Jazz are and how they've reacted. Quinn had some interesting comments about that yesterday. So those are all probably up at UtahJazz.com, I would suspect. I had it on Facebook or Instagram Live yesterday. But those are questions that I think or comments that I think were worthwhile. All right, let's look at what do we expect from Quinn. And what adjustments might the Jazz make? Last year, a lot of them happened. They were in the process of happening, but they couldn't really happen until Joe Johnson got traded, and they couldn't really happen until Rodney Hood moved on. But if you kind of go back and look at the Jazz last year, I think you would see that some of those were taking place. I feel as though there's some things that have begun to happen here right before the break, and then you get Quinn to get 9 days to do actually extra preparation, and I think you begin to see some of those items. So if we look at the Jazz month by month, there's some interesting trends, at least in my book. Some of it, again, as this, I've never been with a year where I feel like scheduling has had such a tremendous impact on every piece of analysis. I mean, even to the point where Oklahoma City this year is 15-9 against above 500 teams. They deserve incredible. That's awesome. Like, that should make you believe that OKC really might be the second best team in the West. They're 15-9 against above 500 teams. The Jazz are 15-20. Okay, so that's not as good as 15-9, but where did the extra 11 games come from? Like, that's incredible. We're 15-20 against above 500 teams, and the Thunder are 15-9. Now, theirs is way better, but you kind of wonder, if you only had to play 24 games instead of 35 against above 500 teams, wouldn't we be 5 games better in the standings? It's how I felt all year long on this. All right, here's some things that I think I've noticed a little bit here, and you start to – I love breaking games down in 10-game windows of the season. I think it can kind of reveal a few things to you of what are taking place. One is that the Jazz have been on a continuous uptick in regards to pace of play. So we opened the year playing about 101 possessions a game. We went to 102, and we're now up at 103 and recently been close to 104. I'm not actually always in love with increased pace of play. I actually think that when we get into a half-court set and really kind of work it a little bit, it is when we get to be our best. But due to some of the characteristics of our team, that has not been always the best result. We are not good early in shot clocks, which is interesting either. So that's been a huge emphasis from Quinn, to get better and early in the shot clock and better off other teams' misses. That'll be the key thing for me to watch. There's two areas where I think you've really got to watch the Jazz in the second half of the season. One is the Jazz are committing, which is right about the league average, about 8 live ball turnovers a game. I hate turnovers. It's a ridiculous statistic that doesn't tell a story. But if you dig into it, the Jazz seem to be committing about 8 live ball turnovers a game, and that hurts you. Now, the Jazz, interestingly, are one of the better defensive teams in the league after turnovers. I think it's because Quinn coaches the Euro foul really, really well, and they just do a good job of that. The Jazz have been, they're 14th in the league after a turnover defensively this year. They're 5th in the league defensively after a defensive rebound. In other words, they're getting back into transition, and they're the 3rd best half-court defense. So if the Jazz are going to make a run defensively, it's actually going to be a little bit of, hey, let's try not to, you know, some of these live ball turnovers. One thing the Jazz do well is their teams are 28th in the league in how long they hold on to the ball after that live ball turnover. So the Jazz get back defensively and try to get it to replicate a half-court possession as much as they possibly can. So that's one area where I think we'll see the Jazz improve. And another area where there'll be a big, huge focus is a play off of misses and transition off of misses. The Jazz are 29th in the NBA when they get in transition after a defensive rebound. They don't do it a great deal, but more importantly, they don't do it very well. If you look at the Jazz offense after They're 18th after a made, 20th after a defensive rebound, 18th after a turnover. So they're pretty consistent across the board, but they're 29th in the league in transition off of a defensive rebound. So when they push, they don't push well, and I think there'll be a large focus in that regard. There's one area, other area where I think I've seen Quinn adjusting. I'll touch on that when we come, and then we'll take your questions. As we continue on Locked On Jazz, every day when you get in your car, you can just tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. Rob Taylor and the crew out at Shamrock built Shamrock Auto Group out in Pleasant Grove, Utah. And they largely built it because he wanted to change the car buying experience that people got on. And so what he did is he went and found a guy he knew. It looked at a bunch of people and found somebody who had been in the business for a long time as a technician and told him, I want you to be my car buyer because then I know everything I'm getting is going to be of value. Most of the cars at Shamrock Auto Group are 6 to 12 months old, with 5 to 20,000 miles, Suburbans, Yukons, big SUVs, Utah County assault vehicles. They're an independent car dealership. People come from all across the state as well as out of the state. You can pick up the phone and call Rob and literally say, this is what I'm looking for. He'll send Brady or one of his guys out to go find it for you and then bring it into town. They promise you that you are going to, they're a lean company, so they're not going to take hours in the sales process. The margins are too tight for that, so there's the boom. We're going to get you out, get you taken care of, give you the test drive, and make sure you have a great experience. Call Rob, 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250 if you have any questions about things. Rob says, better cars, no drama, great pricing, will get you into truck and sedan. And the most important thing to him is the incredible Google reviews that exist about Shamrock Auto. All sorts. Go check it out. Out-the-door pricing in 5 minutes, test drive by yourself, buying experience under an hour. It's Shamrock Auto Group in Pleasant Grove. Today's show is also brought to you by Slow the Flow, the Water All-Stars. You guys are absolutely fabulous and always play along with my fun things, but no one seems to be grasping the Slow the Flow, Locked On idea. Email me at dlock09 @gmail.com and tell me the fun little thing you've done because of Slow the Flow. That's what I want to do. I want to show how we as a group are being environmentally conscious. I know it feels like the streaky shooter that is Utah is dumping water and snow everywhere. Right now, all the water is frozen since it's frozen outside. But it is super important. There's great things you can do. I'm setting my Google device to, I literally tell it, Google, set a timer for 4 minutes. When it beeps, I'm in and out of the shower, because if you shower one less minute every day, you save 1,875 gallons of water a year. If you get the ultra low flow shower head, you can save 2.5 gallons every minute of your shower. It's slowtheflow.org. You love Utah. We all do. So make sure you slow the flow and save H2O. All right, before we get into the next part of this, I got to share something that's funny that goes on. So Facebook, because of all of its community stuff, has added that if somebody, one of my friends, pops on, it tells me. So my good friend Shannon, who you guys have actually heard about a little bit, she's the name I've written on my hand for the Qualtrics, five for the fight, whenever that has taken place, when we've had those events, and she's battling, she's sitting home, day off chemo right now, listening. So there's great pressure to try to be entertaining. And then I just got a Doug Dust popped on and says is watching. I don't know if you guys can see that. Doug and I went to college together, have not seen each other for like 25 years. This was not how I really intended to see my buddy the next time. But anyway, shout out to Doug for stopping by. It's kind of funny how Facebook does that. Yeah, thanks, Shannon. You'll get me too. All right, let's get back to basketball, because that's what I can hide in my little comfort zone and talk about. The other area where I think we've seen Quinn begin to adjust before we get to the questions is some lineup stuff. We began to see Royce O'Neal playing a little bit of four there at the end of the break. We began to see the Jazz playing. Tabo actually didn't play the other night. Quinn talked about Tabo the other day. We're beginning to see Quinn go. I feel like for the most recent time, what the Jazz have done is usually have gone and had, you know, sometimes they'll say, put your five best players together. If we're honest, our five best players don't mesh very well. And so I think we're seeing an evolution from our five best players to the five that work best on the floor together. So we've seen 44 possessions of Rubio, Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Royce at the 5-4 with Rudy Gobert. It's been incredible. It's a very small sample size. But for right now, it's plus 57 per 100 possessions. They've only been on for 44. So that's a little bit of a new kind of wrinkle that we've seen there. And as Dante comes back and Raul Neto just has great value, we may see Neto with Dante at the two, playing with Joe Ingles, playing with Royce O'Neal. I have a feeling we haven't been playing Favors and Gobert a great deal together. But I have a feeling we're going to see less and less of it and more of the group kind of spreading out. And when you look at Favors and Gobert together and you look at where they've had success recently, it's not against the playoff teams. Against the Warriors, they were minus 4 in 12 minutes. Against the Spurs, they were minus 5, only could play 5 minutes together. Against Atlanta, they were plus 15. Against Portland, they were minus 2 in 10 minutes. Against Minnesota, they were even in 12 minutes. And Minnesota plays Taj Gibson, so that's a lineup where it should work. But even on those, and Minnesota's the one team we can really score against. Against Denver, it lasted for only 5 minutes. Against Portland, it was minus 3 for 9 minutes. Against Cleveland, it was good. Against the Clippers, it was good. Against Detroit, who plays two bigs, it was good. Against Chicago, it was plus 21. Against the Lakers without LeBron, it was plus 7. Against Orlando, it was even. Then you get to a good game against Milwaukee, minus 9. The previous matchup with Detroit wasn't as good, minus 13. Against Cleveland, it was positive. Against Toronto, it was minus 18. You start to kind of run against New York, it was actually minus. Against Philadelphia, a good team, it was minus 9. It was good against Portland on Christmas. Against Oklahoma City, it's actually been okay. So you start to break down where that Favors-Gobert lineup's working, and it's working against the lesser teams when the Jazz offensive inadequacy with that lineup isn't as big a deal. The offense with those two guys on the floor is in the 11th percentile, I think, or maybe 19th percentile for the season of all lineups. And I think we'll begin to see a little bit less and less of that. This is actually a home phone, which I don't know why we have, because people just call us all the time with nothing. But so the lineup with Rubio, Mitchell, Ingles, Favors, and Gobert is in the 13th percentile offensively. It's in the 87th percentile defensively, so about the exact same. And so it's pretty close to even. But, you know, with Crowder, we're plus 15 instead of Favors. Some of our bench units are pretty good. The one that doesn't seem to be working as well is Rubio, Mitchell, Royce, Jay Crowder, and Rudy Gobert. But most of the time we spread this thing out, it works. If you kind of look, when we have Derek, here's the rundown, and this is kind of my feeling is we'll see a little less of this in the final 25 games of the season. When we have Favors and Gobert on the floor, the offense, no matter who is with them, is 12th percentile offensively, 97th percentile defensively. So it's great. It's plus 2. It really works defensively. But when we're playing the better teams, that offensive problem is real. When you put Gobert on the floor without Derek, it's in the 92nd percentile overall of all performance, 75th offensively, 91st defensively. So it's actually just about as, you know, it's close to as good defensively. It's plus 9 per 100 possessions. When you put Favors on the floor without Rudy, and this is an area where Derek is, as I thought, you know, my feeling is it has improved greatly this year. Derek's defense has been better. He's been more active. The offense is still not great. It's in the 29th percentile, but the defense is in the 77th percentile. We're minus 1.4. So what's interesting is we're actually a little bit better when we play both Derek and Rudy together than we are when we just play Derek by itself, but we're best when playing Rudy by himself. And every minute that we're playing Favors and Gobert together is a minute Rudy's not playing by himself with a spread floor, and that's hurting us a little bit. We can improve a little bit in that regard as well. All right, let's get to some of your questions. Can you please help me defend Exum to all the haters out there? When he's healthy, he's worth his contract. I mean, time's going to tell whether he's worth his contract, frankly. I don't want to – I mean, Ryan, I would say there's a legitimate argument on Dante on both ends. One, he's got to prove he can stay healthy. It's not his fault he tore his ACL. It's not his fault he sprained his ankle. But he's got to learn how to stay – not his fault he hurt his shoulder. Two, he's got to be consistent. He played five really, really good games before he got hurt. But, you know, the concept of the contract is a three-year deal where he gets better as the contract stays flat. So maybe this year we had money, you're paying a little extra for him, and then by the end you're hoping he's an $18 million player on an $11 million contract. So I think time's going to tell on that one. All right. What are your thoughts on the whole Zion Williamson college players getting paid thing? If I was Zion Williamson's parents, I would never let my kid play 1 minute of college basketball. I've said this. If I had a top 10, top 15 kid, they're not going to college. They're not getting a college experience. They're not taking classes. They're pulling out of school the minute March is over, maybe even already by now because nobody can report it. So they're getting no benefit. Colleges don't do anything for them. They have limited training staffs. They have limited practice time. There's no reason why I would ever allow my kid to play college basketball for a year so they can make billions of dollars while my kid risks the injury like Zion Williamson last night or Nerlens Noel or so many others. I would take my kid. I would sign a deal with an agent, make him ineligible. He would either go get the worldly experience of playing again in Europe against men and getting paid or playing in Australia in their program, but more likely I'd have the agent give us an advance. He's going to make plenty of money if my kid's that good, and I'd set up a training staff to make him physically stronger. I'd have him spend a bunch of time at programs like P3 and build him up into a year of physical training. He loses a year of playing, but if he's that good, we'll be fine, and then put him into the NBA the next year. I have no doubts that would be the right way to do it. Today's show brought to you by Intercap Lending. It's such a great story. I got another great email the other day from Brock about their growth and how great the 2019 start is. And I just love it when a company joins in with us. We hopefully promote them a little bit. They do incredible work. We have a little tiny piece of the puzzle in which we promote them and, you know, get their name out there, and then they answer the bell and do amazing work. And that's what Intercap Lending has done. Intercap Lending, I can speak firsthand. They did our mortgage refinance last year during the middle of the season and saved us a tremendous amount of money and also just had a great experience. Steve Carter was amazing. And that's what we keep getting from Locked On Jazz listeners who email me or email Steve and tell us about the experience. For example, Clayton and Sarah Winslow said Steve Carter, Intercap Lending, did a fantastic job with a refinance for Sarah and I. The process was seamless, very quick. We reached out with a time crunch. He really made it happen. Intercap and Steve is by far the best mortgage company we've dealt with, and we'll recommend them highly to anyone who needs a mortgage or a refi. Brad Hickman sent us something very similar. Intercap Lending's been the best experience I've had in a refinance and a home loan. Steve Carter gave detailed options custom for my own situation. The loan process was made easy by the experience, knowledge, timelessness, and personable nature, Steve. I would agree. Steve went over and above. D&R's done. You can give Steve a direct call at 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 1904465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Hi, Dave. I've been wondering for some time, something for quite a while. I've noticed after watching the Jazz on offense, after a shot goes up, mostly mid-range or three players are turning and running to the other end. So what you're seeing is the Jazz emphasize back in transition, get set in the half court defensively, let the biggest strength of the team, the number one team in the league, defensively in the half court, dig in rather than going after an offensive rebound. Either Favors or Gobert can go after an offensive rebound, but that's not an area where the Jazz are trying to be great, and they're even. And Rudy and Derek both have an incredibly strong understanding of when to go for that rebound and when not to. So it's been that's a conscious effort for the defensive purpose. Will O'Neal play more four in the second half? I think so. I mean, I think that's my whole, I think we'll see more spacing. I think we'll see more pace with the spacing. I think we'll see more pace. I think we'll see more trying to get early action on the rim. We're not, you know, in our numbers are better than league average as we get late into a shot clock, but we're not great at it. If that makes sense, we're good at it. It's just not a great way to live. I think I just turned the camera around. I did. Good morning, David. Love the show. It seems like the Jazz offense loves the dribble handoff, always setting a pick for the ball handler. What's the offensive advantage of doing that all the time? Is that a product of not really having pure isolation create your own shot players? You're exactly right, Richard. First of all, we just don't have isolation, very good isolation players. Rodney was okay at it. Alec did it some, but wasn't very good at it. And Donovan's okay at it. But we're not a predominantly isolation team. And our one of our greatest strengths is the pick setting of Rudy Gobert. And you're trying to, you know, in a day and age of defense that's switching to a lot of different things, Quinn wants to make the other team try to make as many decisions as possible. And I think that's a little bit of what you're seeing there is if we can make the other team make as many decisions as possible as a shot clock winds down, it's why we're so much better than league average late in shot clocks is because teams make mistakes in that regards. Players who've had the most isolations in the league, it's pretty incredible. Harden has 1,071 and Blake Griffin has 661 as the next. Our leading guy is Donovan Mitchell. I'm trying to find him here. He's 43rd in the league. He gets 0.84 points per isolation. I can run a quick number of the top. Let's do the top 100 isolation guys. So that is 70 isolations. Give me 1 second here. Of the top 70 guys, Donovan's points per isolation ranks 80th, tied with Russell Westbrook, Evan Fournier, Ben Simmons, LaMarcus Aldridge. So 80th out of the top 100 guys in isolation is our number one isolation guy. We're going to run a lot of dribble handoff and do things of that nature. Now, if we spread the floor, it's worth noting, like, if we do what I think we're going to do, which is spread the floor more often and play, let's see if that helps Donovan's isolation game. Do you think the Jazz will make the playoffs? Yes. I think we'll be the fifth seed, winning 50 games playing Houston. Whose minutes will Dante cut into when he's healthy? I think the answer might be Favors at the four. That's kind of what I'm leaning toward, is that Royce is playing well. You want to keep him on the floor. Dante brings value. I think they might be Favors at the four. It always stops me in my tracks when your shirt says, yeah, it does. It says it backwards. I have actually a shirt I'll wear that has it the other way. Thanks for giving us our fans something from going crazy during the very long All-Star break. I agree. I'm with you. I actually was like, what are we talking about today? Oh, good. Facebook Live. How crucial is us to get healthy? I mean, I think we're pretty healthy. Like, I'm not playing the injury card on us this year. I mean, I think that from a coaching standpoint for Quinn, like anytime you lose anybody from the rotation, I mean, it'd be great to be purely healthy, but almost nobody's purely healthy. And as long as your two main guys aren't hurt, which we had last year, like last year I thought was really a big injury crunch, and it was a little unique when we were missing three guys all at the same position. That definitely had a little bit of a push on how you were going to get things done. But, you know, if you, the average player in the league plays about 71 games, so somebody is going to be missing time kind of at all times. Like that's just the reality of the burden of the league. So I actually feel like we've been relatively healthy. Can the Jazz get to a 3 seed? I don't think so. Listen to yesterday's show, and then there's a link in yesterday's show page with all the schedule breakdown information. And I would be super surprised if we can get to the 3 seed. I have us as the 5 seed at 50. I think we might be able, if we're perfect down the stretch, get to 51 or 52. Can the Jazz, this is a huge part of the Jazz fan base, there's quite vitriolic towards Exum. I mean, they just need something to complain about, I guess. I mean, I also saw somewhere the other day, it's time for Exum to start. Like, honestly, I couldn't have seen a stupider headline. Like what? Like, so the guy who hasn't been healthy for 17 games, it's time for him to start. Like, whoa. Like, who actually really hasn't shown he's a point guard. Like, that was one of the most absurd headlines. And at the same time, you know, Exum's going to be a star. It seems like somewhere in the middle is where we should be. Like, let the guy just kind of develop. Are you worried ever Donovan is spread himself too thin outside of basketball? He's incredible and such a good young man, but seems like overexposure combined with the inefficient play. I don't really worry about Donovan. I think he's got his head on his shoulders. I don't think he's going to get hate around the league from his cohorts because he's such a great kid. He's got a lot going on. There's a whole phenomenon that is Donovan Mitchell. He's openly admitted it and talked about it. I think that's what you got to do if you're a professional, and I think he's going to learn how to handle it. I think he's done a very – he's done a great job. He amazes me. I'm super impressed. Looks like Crowder is in love with jacking up the three. How efficient is it when he's shooting the three? How effective? It's great. Super. That's awesome. Like, this is an interesting thing to me. Like, okay, so he is – I mean, Jay takes shots, and he takes contested – takes some contested threes. And, you know, he's only a 33% three-point shooter. So he's not, you know, he's not a great shooter. That's kind of what he's been his whole career. He's never been a great shooter. He turned himself into an adequate shooter. He has the best shot distribution around it. About 55% of his shots are threes. Like, what would you rather have him do? Like, that's my, like, would you rather have him step into a mid-range shot that he doesn't make at a very high rate and take that? Like jacking up threes is not a bad thing. Like, we've got to get around, like, if we put in the box score every night how bad we were on non-paint or non-restricted area twos, we'd be talking about that. Like, that's a far bigger problem when we're jacking up non-restricted area twos. Right? I mean, even like Faves is like a 35% mid-range shooter. So if he can make 22% of his threes, it's almost a better shot. Like, it's kind of, I don't know. I don't buy that whole mantra. Do I think the NBA should do away with All-Star Weekend, just give guys time off? No, I think it's great. Like, it's not, you know, it's also a lot of it is for House of Highlights and Instagram and all those various things. So I think, you know, I don't see it as something that we, it's fine. I had business meetings. I went to San Diego for a day with my daughter. I hung around here. I had a great ski day. I've actually been pretty busy. All right. I think we did it. Why don't the Jazz attack the paint and get the charity stripe for? We go to the free throw line the fourth most amount of any team in the league. They must watch film. They settle for too many bad shots. I swear that would help them. They're soft. I wonder if you can read my mind right now. Be fun if you could. Probably get me in trouble. Have a great day. It is Locked On Jazz. Sam Amick joins me on Locked On NBA today as well. Go check that out. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NBA. Have a great day.